Grace and peace to you in God, who is our Father and our Mother, and in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Fire. Living in New Mexico in a time of drought and climate change, the prospect of fire looms large in our news feeds and in our consciousness. The American West dreads the annual fire season, which seems to get longer each year, with out-of-control fires sparking earlier and spreading quickly through the parched lands from New Mexico and Colorado to California. This summer, we also hear news from Europe of intense heat and wildfires. It's a growing threat. And part of the anxiety we carry around these fires is the knowledge that they are caused in part by global warming, and likely to get worse. They feel like a judgment on our way of life, our massive consumption and unwillingness to make the changes needed to preserve our climate. The fires bring a sense of dread because they feel like early harbingers, along with other increasing activity of hurricanes and flooding in other parts of the world, of the crisis that is coming. I came to bring fire to the earth. These are not words that we expect to hear from Jesus. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. What? Who is this? The angel said that Jesus was born to bring peace on earth. That's the Jesus we know. When Jesus meets his disciples after his resurrection, the first thing he says to them is, "Peace be with you." That's the Jesus that we're comfortable with. Who is this Jesus saying, "I come to bring fire to the earth"? So you may have heard the old adage that preachers are meant to give comfort to the afflicted and to afflict the comfortable. We often look to the words and person of Jesus to give comfort and peace. We cling to Jesus when we grieve and when we are anxious, when we wonder who we are and if we are worthy of love. We know that Jesus and we cherish that Jesus. Today, the words of Jesus speak affliction to the comfortable. And we don't really want to hear it. We are often like the people who listened to the prophet Jeremiah and rejected his words. Jeremiah speaks to a people who only want to hear good news. They only want to listen to the prophets who offer visions and dreams of plenty and peace and good things to come. They don't want to be held accountable for their injustice and unfaithfulness. They don't want to hear Jeremiah telling them that their actions will have consequences. Does that sound like anyone you know? None of us like to face the mirror held up to show our sin, our unfaithfulness, the ways that our own choices support racial injustice and economic inequality and climate degradation. But that is the mirror that Jeremiah and Jesus bring in today's readings. "Is not my word like fire," says the Lord. Sometimes it is like fire, and we feel the heat of it. The thing is, fire works in two ways. It can be pure destruction, destroying and threatening life and livelihood. That sort of fire raged 5 years ago in Charlottesville when conflict broke out between white supremacist demonstrators and counter-protesters committed to justice and equality. That has been in the news a lot this week. I don't know if you have heard, you know, their memory going back to that day, but I've heard that a number of times this week. That is the sort of fire that erupted in Afghanistan this past week, as women risked everything to protest their treatment by the Taliban and demand help from the international community. And armed forces opened fire over their heads in a show of violent force. That sort of fire threatens our democracy whenever politicians or activists call for violence against their opponents or use violent images in campaigns. But there is another way that fire can work, which is to purify and renew, clearing out what is rotten. I went to look up controlled burns on National Geographic, and here's what it says. Controlled burns are lit for a number of reasons. By ridding a forest of dead leaves, tree limbs, and other debris, a prescribed burn can help prevent a destructive wildfire. Controlled burns can also reduce insect populations and destroy invasive plants. In addition, fire can be rejuvenating. It returns nutrients to the soil in the ashes of vegetation that could otherwise take years to decompose. And after a fire, the additional sunlight and open space in a forest can help young trees and other plants to start to grow. Some plants, such as certain pine species, require fire before the cones or fruits containing the seeds can release them. These cones or fruits need fire to melt a resin that holds the seeds. As a result, without fire, these species cannot grow. Controlled burns have become more important as fire suppression efforts have grown over the last century. Historically, smaller fires occurred in forests at regular intervals. When these fires are suppressed, flammable materials accumulate, insect infestations increase, forests become more crowded with trees and underbrush, and invasive plant species move in. Controlled burns seek to accomplish the benefits that regular fires historically provided to an environment while also preventing the fires from burning out of control and threatening life and property. My friends, what are the dead trees and other debris that need to be cleared from our lives? What infestations of injustice and intolerance threaten our communities? And what new life might grow if we made way, if we cleared the debris to make way for new life of peace and justice? I read more about the purifying role of fire on Britannica.com. It was research week for me this week. Fire is perhaps one of the most symbolically complex phenomena in the history of human culture. It renders raw meats and vegetables into cooked and edible food, base materials into useful and durable metals, and porous dirt and clay into watertight pottery. It destroys the forests and brushlands, but its ashes make the earth fertile and productive. Fire is thus viewed as a powerful transformer of the negative to the positive. Because of such properties, fire is commonly found in purification rites throughout the world. And the Bible is filled with images of fire, the refiner's fire that purifies the people of God. Jesus says, "I have come to bring fire to the earth, and the fire he calls down is a fire that he will take upon himself first in his own death." That is the context for the words of division and judgment that follow. Jesus has turned his face to Jerusalem. He is focused on the end of his life, which is coming soon. He urgently needs his followers to realize that his vision, God's vision for the world, is a vision of disruption and reversal of injustice. Mary and Zechariah sang of God's vision of the haughty brought down and the poor and oppressed lifted up. Jesus didn't come to validate human institutions and values, but to lift up God's values of mercy and justice and compassion. That is as true today as it was 2,000 years ago. Jesus' missional agenda of compassion and mercy and justice shatters the status quo, the reality which has continued since biblical times, in which the rich get richer and the poor are forgotten. Men and women and children live in the streets while a few live in mansions. People go hungry while restaurants and grocery stores and households throw away tons of food. It is difficult for us to relate to the urgency of Jesus' message because we have lived with both the status quo of injustice and inequality and the story of Jesus all our lives. Those two things go side by side for us, and it's hard to hear the urgency of Jesus in this moment trying to tell his disciples that life will be different. That is why it's important that we listen to words like these, to let them jar us out of complacency and comfort. So I realized, preparing for this week, that this is really not a reading or a message that goes real great with our back to school Sunday, right? I'm like, oh, it could have been something fun and goodness and light. But then reflecting more, I think maybe this is exactly the message we need, because these young people we're sending back to school are the ones who are going to live in the world that we leave for them. A world with climate degradation, a world with injustice and inequality, or we can do better. We can do better to try to leave them a world that has more peace and more justice and more just togetherness, just community and contact, and not the nasty division that we live in right now. And so that is the world that I hope that we can leave for these young people that we bless today. Jesus asks his followers to live differently, that we share what we have and advocate for justice and oppose the status quo. Often we don't do these things, and that is when these words come to meet us. I have come to bring fire, the fire of purification, the fire of renewal, the fire that might leave a better world for our kids. Fire that will clear out the rottenness of all that values profit over human life. Fire that will make way for true peace. That is God's vision for our world. And it is our work to live toward the realization of that vision, to foster justice and equality, mercy and compassion in the world around us, to work and advocate for homes and food and dignity for all people, to bring the peace of God into real, lasting peace in our world. May it be so. Amen.